It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Andrea Salinas, representing the 6th Congressional District of Oregon and a member of the House Ag Committee. So good to see you.
So good to see you. Thank you.
So, a little background. How many terms have you been, how many years here in Congress and with the Ag Committee?
So I am a first term member. After I was sworn in, I really, and during those few days actually that we were all on the floor, I was lobbying hard to get on the Ag Committee as a new member. So I was sworn in last year. I've been on the Ag Committee just over a year, about a year and a half now. And I hit the ground running. It was what I needed to do. I talked to so many different growers as I was running for this seat, and I knew that our, you know, rural communities, I think, have been neglected a lot across America, not just in Oregon, but certainly in America. There's a big need. So, and when I learned that, you know, we were going to tackle the Farm Bill reauthorization, I was excited to be part of that.
For those who might not know what agriculture looks like in the 6th District, what will we find?
So we have a lot of specialty crops, so things like wine grapes, Pinot Noir. People probably know the Pinot Gris and Pinot Noir wines that, you know, are so famous. But yes, so great Jory soil, hazelnuts, blueberries, Christmas trees, forestry, a little bit of dairy, a little bit of wheat. So yeah, it's a big mix, but a lot of specialty crops.
Is the fact that you've got small and specialty crops part of the reason why we need to have crop insurance and have a strong crop insurance program in the Farm Bill?
100%. And, you know, the chair of the committee actually came to Oregon pretty early. I want to, in fact, it was around this time last year. It was in June. He and one of my colleagues from the 5th Congressional District of Oregon and one of my Republican colleagues from California came up and listened, had a great listening session in the 5th Congressional District right next to mine. But we had people from all over Oregon, and a lot of specialty crops and growers showed up to talk about just that, how we needed a strong, you know, stronger support systems for those crops who couldn't access insurance, or when disasters hit, really couldn't receive the support they needed.
Wine grapes.
Yeah.
You know, for those who don't have them anywhere near, might not understand some of the challenges that growers face. One can be smoke, right?
That is a huge problem, and we saw it in Oregon in 2020 with some of the most devastating wildfires we had seen in years in Oregon, and now it feels like it is almost a yearly occurrence. But, you know, the whole red sky, you couldn't see the sun. It was very ominous. But yes, those, you won't find a lot of 2020 wine, but those grapes were definitely affected. And so trying to figure out how we mitigate for, you know, the wildfires, but also how do we keep our growers afloat when that kind of devastation happens? And that means we need more research and, you know, biological research. How do, you know, some of the, and all grapes are different, but from what I have been told is that Pinot grapes have a really thin outer layer, and so that smoke really penetrates, and you can taste it. There's like a smoky taste in the wine grape.
Farm Bill. Obviously, Farm Bill encompasses, 12 titles?
Yeah.
So it goes everywhere from production ag through, I think there's a trade title
there
in there.
There's
a lot in there.
That's right.
But the largest chunk is actually nutrition. How important is that to the overall Farm Bill?
Well, for me, and I think for America, it is really important, right? It is what we do. We feed people, right? And the nutrition title really helps those who may not be able to put food on their table. And so we have seen in this, in the bill that I think we're going to address tomorrow, was just talking to the chair, actually, and you know, there's going to be about a $30 billion cut over the course of 10 years, which would mean two fewer meals per month for those who rely on it. And For me, we're talking about veterans, you know, people who have served our country, who may not be able to put food on their tables, children, and the elderly, and a lot of times disabled folks. And it's about 45,000 people just in my district alone. And so these are the kinds of people who, you know, who have given, right? Our veterans have given to our country. And we want to make sure that when they come back, they get the respect that they need, and certainly they get the nutrition and food that they need. So that is a big piece of this. It's a big part of the discussions that are going on right now. And for me, I will need to see those nutrition programs, at least for the populations I just mentioned, be made whole.
This kind of works into the conversation we've already been having, but disasters.
That's right.
We've seen over the past, 5 to 10 years, a lot of ad hoc disaster payments go out. How important is it to have disaster assistance that's flexible?
Oh, I think it's really important. And under the CCC, that gives the administration some flexibility to address things just like this, you know, disaster assistance when, you know, tragedies, and whether it's hurricanes, tornadoes, it's not just about wildfires and ice storms and the things you see in the Pacific Northwest, but things that we're seeing all over the country that are devastating crops. So it is extremely important for the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary and the administration to have a little bit of flexibility in their back pocket to be able to say, oh my gosh, let's step in. Otherwise, we know that so many of our crops and productions will go under. So we need to make sure we continue some of that flexibility. Same thing along the lines of trade wars. And so when those trade wars start, you want to have, again, a little bit of something in your back pocket that says, okay, we're going to make sure that the people who are not hurt the most are the growers and those in the ag industry.
Because at the end of the day, those who get hurt may take years to recover, which is maybe a way to segue into something else we've already talked about, that smoke, which comes from wildfires.
Yeah.
Can we prevent the wildfires that we've been seeing?
I think there is a lot of room to start to really address wildfires in a way that we haven't before. And I'm actually excited for this farm bill to start to look at that and what landscape restoration really looks like around wildfire mitigation. In addition, you know, there are some provisions that will provide some direct hiring authority. Right now, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has all this red tape where they have to go through the Department of Labor to be able to hire wildland firefighters themselves. This bill will seek to cut through that red tape and directly be able to hire those wildland firefighters. And hopefully we can, depending on what the ultimate bill looks like, continue at funding levels, because we know our firefighters on the ground in our, you know, federal forests aren't making what they should. And again, we had some additional flexibility in our back pocket to be able to give them some pay and benefits that they needed. But that needs to continue in the farm bill.
So, as you start nearing the end of this term, are you still optimistic?
I am optimistic. I tell folks, so a lot of the provisions that we've talked about today are provisions that I have put forward, that I've been a champion of, that I've been having conversations around, and that is all very exciting. I think we've talked about some shortcomings around this bill as well that, you know, really do concern me. But the negotiations aren't over, right? I mean, we still have the markup tomorrow. I'll be really curious to see what comes out of that. And then we will still have, it sounds like, some floor debate where there will be potential additional amendments. And then, of course, we have to negotiate with the Senate. So I keep saying it's early in the ball game. We're still about the second, third inning. We still have a long way to go. We haven't, we're not at seventh inning stretch or anything right now.
In that case, I hope you have quite a few home runs along the way.
Thank you. I do, too.
It's the Honorable Andrea Salinas. She represents the 6th Congressional District of Oregon, a member of the House Ag Committee. And from Capitol Hill, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.